Good evening. This is the Voice of America in Washington. Welcome to another edition of Reporters Roundtable. I'm Douglas Impoga. This evening we'll talk about corruption and Africa's long-serving leaders. And with us tonight is my colleague, Vincent Makori, Managing Editor of VOA's Africa 54. Welcome to the show, Vincent.
Thank you, and it's a delight to be here.
You're welcome. And we're joined by regular panelist, Suleiman Mugula. He's an independent political analyst. He joins us from Durban, South Africa. Good evening, Suleiman.
Good evening, sir, and good evening, everybody.
How are you doing today? You're very low. Are you okay?
I'm very fine.
That's good. Yes, as I said, our topic tonight, we won't be talking about corruption and long-serving leaders in Africa. The ongoing revelations of the extent of the influence and questionable riches of Isabel dos Santos, daughter of Angola's longest-serving president, has dominated news cycles across the continent over the past week. Again, this week, the latest Corruption Perception Index by Transparency International was released. As the rankings show, sub-Saharan Africa was the lowest-scoring region on the index, with an average score of 32 out of 100, below the global average of 43. With several of the continent's biggest countries and economies recording little or no progress, the latest index, Transparency International says, represents a bleak picture of inaction against corruption. So, Vincent, why don't we start from there? Bleak picture indeed?
You know, when, when you look at what's been happening and then you see how things seem to be progressing, then you look ahead, you can understand when somebody says it's bleak, because you know, you get informed by the past and the present. So unless you see something very, very concrete on the ground, mm-hmm. that would give you a sense of hope for the future, mm-hmm. it is very natural to really have a bleak look if you are realistic. But of mm-hmm. course, we like to live in fantasy sometimes, and we want to have to keep our hopes high and try to hope that things will not be as bleak, things mm-hmm. will not be as bad. Mm-hmm. But you see, the past informs us rather differently, and that mm-hmm. is the sad part.
I see. Suleiman, your general take on the situation as it is?
Sad, generally, Douglas and my brother, because the way you have put it, Transparency International statistics show that things are not good in Africa. World Bank reports by 2019 was showing that poverty and inequality is increasing steadily in Africa. Oxfam reports by 2019 were pointing to the same direction. Also, poverty, inequality increasing compared to the global figures. Africa is in worse off situation. So all factors, all indices show that there is something going wrong in Africa. Since the beginning of the century, I don't think much has changed, and we are going in a terrible and very bad direction.
I see. Vincent, I began by referencing Dos Santos' daughter, who is Africa's richest woman, a billionaire, dollar terms.
Yes.
And that one actually is a pure sign of the level of corruption on the continent.
First, we have to realize that there's something very unique about the continent of Africa, in that politics is the surest way to get into wealth. And, of course, that means those who get into power get to really have almost unbelievable access to the resources of the country. So them, along with their children and their closest relatives and their cronies, naturally become wealthy. It is the most unique region in the world where being in a political position, holding a political position is guaranteed wealth. Especially if you align yourself with the system properly.
Mm.
If you are in the ruling coalition, if you are especially in a country where the one party has more influence for years and years. So the fact that those in the political class have this amazing access to wealth in a way that you cannot even have a clear explanation as to how they become this most powerful business people. They are the wealthiest members of the society, but also the foremost business people in a particular country. What a coincidence that mm-hmm. they have to be the business, mm-hmm. the political elite.
Mm-hmm.
They own the most profitable, most critical mm-hmm. Businesses of any of the country, whether it is in manufacturing or if it is in banking or it is in mining.
Mm-hmm.
What a coincidence that those are the only people who have the business acumen to become so successful in these fields, as this lady, for example, from Angola, would want someone to believe that it is sheer hard work and determination that gets somebody there. But what a coincidence that when you look at Angola, you look at the DRC, you look at Uganda, you look at Kenya, you look at other countries, that only those in the political class and especially the closer you are to the presidency,
mm-hmm.
or if you are in the presidency, you happen again to be the richest people. Whether you're talking about Equatorial Guinea, talking about Cameroon, how can you convince somebody that is pure coincidence and that you have you are the only person who has this kind of amazing ability to do successful business in the poorest environment, the poorest country, that everybody else can stay poor, but you become the most successful business person. No, there's no coincidence. There is massive plundering of individual people's countries, and it is a very sad affair.
Suleiman, we mentioned Angola, but Angola is not alone. It's a big club, of course, across the continent.
Actually, to add on what Vincent is saying, it's not even being successful. But when you look at the colossal amount of money which these people are owning, they are even almost richer than the government themselves. I mean, how can they amass such wealth when the countries are struggling? At the moment, the biggest problem in many of these African countries are the debts. Many of these countries, all these countries which you have talked about, as recent I said, all around Central African Republic, Rwanda, Burundi, Uganda, Southern Sudan, DRC, Gabon, Cameroon, all of them, Zambia, all of them are in heavy debts, and they are continuing to borrow. Some of them, like Uganda, they cannot even finance their budget. They are borrowing now to have operational budgets. But the people in leadership, the cartels around the leaders are becoming richer and richer. But the governments are becoming poorer and poorer. The services to the people are almost becoming non-existent. So they are swimming in a lot of wealth, whereas the population is swimming in power. Hence the inequality gap, which is growing bigger and bigger. If you look in these countries, the inequality now is existing in countries like Southern Sudan, Uganda, Chad, Cameroon, Zimbabwe, even us in South Africa. The inequality is scandalous. Why? The major reason being the corruption, the unfair way in which the resources of these particular countries are being distributed. After there is no distribution, there is outright looting on one side, and then the others are just left wallow in poverty.
I'm beginning to wonder whether even corruption is the right word. Why wouldn't outright theft be the term?
Actually, what happens is theft. Is robbery, daylight robbery. It is plundering of the economy. Actually, corruption, that word has been used to somewhat sanitize what goes on so that it feels like it is something that is slightly less serious, like it is less serious than stealing. But the truth is, what's going on in this country is, if you analyze well, if you really know what's going on, excuse me, it's pure stealing. So where people are taking everything they can within the time that they're in power, whether it is mineral resources, whether it is money that has been given as foreign aid, whether it is money that is coming from taxpayers themselves of their own countries, they take this money, they divert it shamelessly into their own bank accounts, they take land for free for themselves. Some of them have been known to really subdivide a property or share property that used to belong to government, whether it is houses or pieces of land, and they just give to each other. This is usually the closest man to the guy in power. And what they're doing is stealing. There's no question about it. But why do they do that? Because they don't care. The simplest thing in my assessment of what's going on over the years is that these men and women, these families, don't care. You can make as much noise as you want, and we've seen it happen. Whether it is in Angola, whether it is in Kenya, whether you're talking about West African countries, they don't care. Because show me one person from a political elite class, from a ruling family, that was taken to court, was found guilty, was sent to prison, that was made to return all the wealth they have stolen. They don't care because they know they always get away with it. They know they're thieves. They know they're stealing. They know people might at some point make some noise about it and mention it. They don't care because they get away with it.
I see. Suleiman, some people have observed that the introduction of the structural adjustment programs, liberalization, privatization of government parastatals, that added fuel to the fire of corruption and theft.
Yes. It was a gateway to the robbery which Vincent is talking about. It's a gateway because these dictators who have stayed in power for a long time, the constitutions give them absolute control on the resources of the country. So they had the right to sell. And when they were selling, either there is internal, there is insider trading, they sell them to themselves, or they get the resources which they have sold them. They don't use them for the benefit of the country. So actually, the economies of many of the African countries got skewed from the structured adjustment programs, and corruption was enhanced from then up to now. Now it is on industrial scale. One example to put it in perspective is us in South Africa. We had only two terms of President Zuma, but the corruption, the cartel which was around them, the destruction which it has done to the country, right now the economy is struggling to hold. All the state enterprises, South African Airways was one of the best institutions. It is almost collapsing. SABC, all the state-owned infrastructure corporations, all of them went down because of corruption. The amount of money which was looted, they need to be resuscitated by the public purse. And the people are asking themselves, they want that money to be brought back. So, right now, the commission which is going on shows excessive looting, which almost has crippled the economy of the country. So one wonder what happened to countries where leaders have been in power for 20 years, the amount of destruction which has been met. That is why it is a sorry state. That is why poverty and inequality and unemployment has to continue and has to be worse. The moral proceed.
I see. We are now going to take a short break. We'll be back again to continue our discussion of corruption and Africa's long-serving leaders.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa. on the next Straight Talk Africa. Historically black colleges and universities in the United States are expanding in Africa. HBCUs on the continent on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
VOA's Our Voices television program is about more than just sitting and talking about women's issues. It's about listening to them and bringing their opinions to the table and making sure that their voices are heard. Because our lived experiences, our stories, and our voices will help shape the next generation.
Check your local TV listings and join the conversation each week with Our Voices on VOA.
Welcome back. In case you're just tuning in, you're listening to Reporters Roundtable. We're coming to you live from VOA studios here in Washington. Our topic tonight is corruption and long-serving leadership in Africa. Our panelists are my colleague, Vincent Makori, and Suleiman Mugula, a South African-based independent political analyst. And I'm your host, Douglas Impuga, here in Studio One in Washington. Vincent, Suleiman, before I went for that very brief break, alluded to actually brought out the relationship between if somebody in power for a term or two can cause damage by being corrupt, how about somebody that's been in power for 20, 30, 40 years?
Yeah, we've seen the damage that those very long-serving leaders have done to their countries. Mm. If you look at the countries where politicians have stayed in power for 20, 30 years, first, they're the most autocratic. Mm-hmm. They're the wealthiest on the continent. Their children will be gallivanting around and owning the most expensive sports cars and boats and homes in the U.S. and elsewhere. Mm. Because the longer they stay in power, the more disdain they hold their people. The more they hold their people in a lot of disdain. They have no respect for their people. Mm. You can hear how they talk to their people. You can see how they conduct themselves. Mm. Even in front of people, they lose respect for their people. They start feeling a sense of ownership of the country. Mm. Many of those who have stayed in power treat their countries like their personal property, and that all the citizens of that country are basically squatters on their piece of land. Mm. The total amount of the wealth of the nation becomes their personal ledges to take from, and that is why they end up being unaccountable. They form governments that are literally rubber stamps for their excesses. And with time, you notice even in those governments where the person has stayed in power for too long, their children start behaving like they are the ones who naturally have a right to become the next leaders of that country. So there is a correlation because power corrupts, remember. Even the best of people, without proper institutions, without strong institutions that will check them, power will corrupt them. Now, you're talking about countries where they don't even have those kind of institutions. In the absence of those institutions, it doesn't even take long before the leader becomes an absolute despot, and he does whatever he wants. Mm. We had a leader in a country in the past in Kenya, where it was known that, for example, he could, give you a piece of land that he hasn't even looked at. Mm-hmm. You just go to him and say, if you're so close to him, I want a piece of land. Mm-hmm. And they would say, have you seen somewhere that there's an empty piece of land? Yeah, that's yours. And why? Because he believed.
He's the owner.
He's the owner of the whole country. Mm-hmm. He can give you a piece of land. He can give you access to government money through fake fake contracts and tenders and pay you money the whichever way they feel. Mm. So there is a close connection between longevity of political leadership and extreme levels of corruption, and of course the poverty of the nation. Look at all those countries that have had leaders who have stayed for too long. The countries have become the poorest countries on the continent. Mm. Their leaders are the wealthiest, among the wealthiest of the people on the continent, of course along with their families, their children, their wives, and those who are very close to them.
I see. Suleiman, briefly on the correlation. Of course, you're sure that the longer they stay, the more things get messed up.
I would just say, in addition to what Vicent has said, the statistics are saying of the 28 poorest countries in the world, 27 are in Africa. Of the 10 most unequal countries in the world, 7 is in Africa. This is the result of the poor leadership which we have. Why is it poor? It is corrupt. The correlation is that the more they are corrupt, they erode the resources which are supposed to be for the development of this country. As a result, there is no service delivery. The people remain poor. As they become more poor, they become more hopeless. As a result of hopelessness, we have had tracks of young people moving on the seas, migrating in different parts of the globe, and those who have remained, they are growing poorer and poorer. Why? Because of the long leaders. As he has named them, look at a country like Uganda. People are now literally beggars. And whom are they begging? Wherever the president goes, he goes with envelopes of little money, $20, $30 to give to people, because he can see. Even himself, he came out and said, people are miserable. People seem to be malnourished. He doesn't even know why people are malnourished. These leaders, they spend the money. They have gone in estates, in putting up malls. But the people cannot buy from those malls. As a result, the malls themselves have to close. The economies have been constrained. Rwanda, Burundi, Chad, Southern Sudan, Sudan itself before the overthrow of the leaders. As a result, there is restlessness almost all over the continent. Why? Because the more they stay, the more the countries become poorer and poorer.
I see. Before you add, you can answer, you can go, but then I wanted to add on also, because some people have pointed out that these leaders, these looters, these corrupt leaders on the continent have accomplices or enablers in multinational corporations. Even some governments that keep pumping money, lending them money when they know these people are banking in those countries who are lending these other African countries money, billions of dollars. In the case, Abacha had millions of dollars in Europe. Zaire's Mobutu had billions in Switzerland. And you still could borrow for the country, loot, and then bank in those countries. Yes. How do you explain that mismatch?
Exactly. There is an enabling here. Mm. The Western world, multinational corporations have actually helped this looters of the African countries to succeed. Where do they keep their money? They don't keep their money in their countries.
No.
They put these monies in Western banks. Mm. They buy property in Western nations, Western capitals. Mm. And when they cut these deals, those multinationals know exactly what's happening. Mm. They know that this guy is a corrupt person. Mm. I'm giving him a cut. And some of the money that we are taking in is going to take into his own personal accounts. And this money goes back to where? Comes back to the West. They all have big, big palatial homes in the Western nations. They have most expensive apartments in London and in Paris and in other places and in the U.S. So those Western entities do enable. Mm. And if there was a time that perhaps corruption could be successfully fought, it will have to also start from the West, where those Western entities will be pressured to refuse to enable, to facilitate the looting, because they bring bags and bags of dollars to the West, while their countries are so poor. As you mentioned, in fact, some of these guys are wealthier than their own countries.
Right.
They are wealthier than the money their countries owe a Western country or the IMF and World Bank. But if I go back to what I wanted to say, this fellows who have stayed in power too long end up having no love for their people, no compassion for their people. They don't care. And you can explain that how. An African leader spends most of the time in Switzerland, for example, living very comfortably while getting the best of medical attention, medical treatment, while his country, people are dying from very simple diseases.
Yes.
If a person who has been in power for 20, 30 years and who is extremely wealthy, if he really loved his country, why hasn't he built a hospital that is good for him, his children, and his friends? If a person really loved his country, why doesn't he have a school or schools that are good for his children and for his grandchildren and for his family members and friends? The fact that they can be so wealthy to the extent that they can afford the most luxurious of everything in the Western world while the people of their countries are languishing in misery every day tells you they really don't care about their fellow citizens.
I see.
They don't care.
Suleiman, we are running out of time, but briefly on the role or the enabling by multinational corporations and the Western world.
The happening is that the continent is on a life support. These countries are being kept on life support by these donor countries and multinationals. Why are they keeping them on life support? They are keeping them on life support because they are organs which they want from them. These multinational companies, they want they want all these commodities from Africa. Because they want them from Africa, they don't want these countries collapse. So they keep them on life support while at the same time they have put the straw in this country. They are sucking out every life which is within this country. So they cannot leave them to collapse. They keep on giving them debts so that they can continue growing in their stupidity. The leaders continue enriching themselves while these countries, these other countries are also getting the resources which they want from this particular country. It is a sad issue. I don't know, but once the movement has started and these leaders are overthrown, apart from putting Isabella Dos Santos to court to return the $1 billion, I wonder whether even those loans which are taken from this particular multinational company, whether the people of Angola should pay them, whether the people of Uganda should pay these debts. I think that is the debate which we need to have next time to find out whether it is fair to pay these debts which have been taken when these multinational companies and donor community really know that the money which they are giving to this government is not being used to grow the economies, and it's not being used to grow, to help the people of this particular country, but it's going in the pockets of these cartels.
Yeah, 5 seconds. That's a very big point he makes, but we're out of time, so summarize.
Yeah, so the point is that the Western nations, indeed, the citizens of these individual countries should be calling out to the Western countries, Western nations, and multinationals to please help the continent by stopping this enabling they have continued for years of corrupt leaders in Africa. Help stop the looting. The West can actually help stop the looting because these men and women have a sanctuary in the West. That's why you see how quickly they run out to Paris or to London, because they don't have a kind of a hurt in Africa. They're not there. So you have to help them.
Yeah, well, that's a big topic we shall revisit soon. But for now, that's all the time we have for this edition of Reporters Roundtable. I'd like to thank our panel, my colleague Vincent Makori, Managing Editor, Africa 54, and Suleiman Mugula, an independent political analyst based in South Africa. Gentlemen, thanks very much for being on the show.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. And our producer tonight was Dan Brown. Our engineer was Nelson Lopez. We'll be back again next week with another edition of Reporters Roundtable. A reminder that in case you missed any or part of this program, you can still access it by going to our main website and click on Programs, and you'll find Reporters Roundtable. You can also drop us a line. Our email is reporters@voanews.com. Thanks once again for tuning in. And until next week, I'm your host, Douglas Impoga, wishing you all the best.